Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play.
So racist, man. She's not just a Mexican girl. I mean, there's so much more to her. And yet all you see is a country, man. A country in a skirt that people are going to die over later in this song. Such crap. Hey, by the way, joining us here for what will be the Sun Bowl podcast. The Sun Bowl, which, if you want to know, the second oldest bowl of all. The first being the granddaddy of them all. If this is the granddaddy, then the Sun Bowl is the lunatic great-granduncle who moved out to the desert and lives in a shed all by himself without heat or running water. That's what the Sun Bowl is. Joining us today for the Sun Bowl podcast will be Irish Outsider from House Rockbuilt. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm actually calling from 2005 when we used to write under handles. You remember those days?
The pseudonyms. Yes, at one point I had one, and then I crossed some sort of route. I think when you have a child, they make you do that. They're like, okay.
I think when you actually receive payment for this racket, you have to kind of go legitimate. I tried to open a bank account under Irish Outsider, and it didn't work.
Yeah. You know, by the way, currently on the Military Bowl, East Carolina would have like 70 points if you could catch passes on the sideline. Like, they keep throwing routes directly to the sideline. If they were legal, East Carolina would be right in this game.
This is why you don't watch Varsity Blues as your pump-up film.
No. You watch other things that really get you excited, like Eraserhead or The Wedding Planner. You know, you don't watch Varsity Blues. So we should talk a little bit about the Sun Bowl vis-a-vis Notre Dame. I understand by aristocratic standards, the Sun Bowl is not anything to get too excited about. Would you be excited about this on behalf of the House Rockbuilt team?
I'm excited about it. Of course I am, because it's another football game involving text-fit jerseys. But other than that, I mean, if Notre Dame wasn't in it, I would probably be like, all right, here we go again. Who's sponsoring it? So
they're a new sponsor this year. Excitement. You guys get
yeah.
to – not only do you get the tech-fit jerseys, tech-fit, you get the new sponsor, which is Hyundai. Hyundai is the new sponsor succeeding Brute. Which Brute had the best ads. They were pretty much like every ad you've ever seen done by a European-owned company for men's products. Like, American-owned products are basically like, you're not gay, right? Like, every male product boils down to, I'm not gay, right? You're not gay and I'm not gay because we use this not gay stuff, right? That's not the case with Brute, and that's not the case with like Gillette, right? Those Gillette commercials, you see some hairless dude like, stroking his like smug mug in the mirror and then jumping through a brick wall, and like he jumps through the brick wall and into a boardroom where he like points to a bunch of crap on a board and everyone's like, oh yeah, wank, and then he immediately dives into the arms of like an anorexic girl and she like strokes his face and like, oh god, you're so handsome for being gay, and that's the way it goes. Brute used to have these great ads, and you will miss those because now it will be merely Korean design cars behaving in a reliable fashion. So I feel bad that this is where Notre Dame is coming into the immortal 77th Sun Bowl. But that's where it is. You're going to be playing Miami. Does this concern...
Are they Miami of Florida?
Yes, you will be playing Miami of Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, and what about Miami would concern you? Besides, obviously, their swag advantage. You will hear that, by the way. You will hear swag and swagger both used by announcers and color guys.
They're not coached by Mike Haywood, right?
No, they're not. So you have nothing to worry about.
Okay. All right. There's swagger. Sure. I'm just a little intimidated by the dual threat of Ja'Cory Harris's possibly playing. Like, it's a dual threat that he's maybe playing, I guess. He could play or he can't. That might be the dual threat. I don't know.
Do you have a defensive back who can catch a thrown ball?
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
I think we do. I'm pretty sure we do. I think we have a couple.
If you,
but he has to throw the ball, because if they run that Denard keeper crap, then just shut it down.
No. If you have a defensive back who can catch the ball, I tell you, you are in this game, sir.
Okay, I think Vern's gonna love him though.
Of course he will. He plays with such joie de vivre. He plays with such gusto. Announcers love that, even if the results are often appalling. And you'll get to hear, by the way, if you have anyone on your team at all who has bad football habits, right, and just does things in a kind of irresponsible fashion, Gary Danielson will get so ornery with them, so grumpy. Like, and it gets better year by year as he gets older and older. He gets less and less patient. So if you have anyone like that on your team, you're going to really, really enjoy this broadcast, because that's all Gary's going to talk about.
Well, the Notre Dame offense is both patience trying and fast. So, you know, you're going to get a lot of action, hopefully, but then it will also try your patience. You're going to be like, no, seriously, why is the clock stopped again?
Yeah,
that might happen.
Gary's magnificent, because he'll just say he doesn't even like what you are. It's not like, you know, a lot of announcers will come on and say, well, they do this system, and they do these sort of innovative or weird or sort of non-normal things, and, you know, I mean, it can be quite effective. Like, hear Bob Davey do this all the time. You can tell Bob Davey, like, on high-scoring spread offenses, you can tell with Davey, it just makes him chafe. He can't stand it, but he at least grants them the charity of saying, oh, this works, you know? Like, you look at it, they rack up a lot of points, boy, in those football games. Well, Gary doesn't even do that. Gary will be like, yeah, this is what they do on offense, and it's bullshit. You can tell he really wants to wrap his mouth around the word bullshit. You can hear his brain reach for it, pick it up, put it back on the shelf, and just go, I don't like it. I mean, I remember watching...
But at least he pronounces football like it has an L in the damn word.
He does.
I mean, if you're telling me that's the main difference, I think I'm going to be able to pick it up real fast.
Yeah, at least Gary Danielson, in charge of a football team, wouldn't have two games in a row that ended with them on the goal line running out of time. Which, I want to take...
I'm pretty sure those were in consecutive weeks, and I was in school at the time, so thanks.
Yeah. I really want to take people back to that. And anytime they defend Davey, just, you know, like, take him back and go... Seriously, in the series pre-heavy internet days, this happened. You know, if that happened now, imagine if that happened now. What kind of chaos would reign?
I think there'd be an LSU freak Dark City kind of montage sort of thing going on there. I'm pretty sure, and in fact, if we can ask him now for this in retrospect, like, he can do this in the off season. He can just do, like, a greatest hits of, like, just major screw-ups of the past, you know, pre-internet decade, and just bring those up and dig those out. I mean, the man's he's a magician. This should be done.
Well, Les Les Miles did that twice in a year, and you know, the word hot seat came up with great seriousness and gravity, right? That happened 2 weeks in a row to Davey, and now he's got a job with ESPN. Like, Urban Meyer is going to be a commentator for him. Urban Meyer is going to look over at Davey, who hired him, but still look over.
That didn't even occur to me. Like, can we bid on this? I want them in the same booth for a game like ours. Can they be in, like, the same booth for, like, the BCS game or something like that? Where, like, Meyer's, like, breaking down, like, the spread, and Davey's just, like, X's.
Yeah. That's it. Like, Meyer.
You know, like, he is, like, his words, there just aren't any. Everything logic breaks down, and the orange begins to fade from his face.
Oh, that'll never happen. It's like, the orange is, like, 23 layers deep at this point. If you strip the orange from his face, the next layer is bone. That's how
he's like that dude in. He's actually like that dude in House who, like, eats the red and the yellow food.
Yeah. this happens in El Paso, which this has been a story, because I talked with Thurman Thomas today, name dropping, and he was in the Sun Bowl in the 80s, and he said, "Oh, it was no big deal. Like, nothing. It was slow. It was sleepy. We walked across the border. No big deal." Now Brian Kelly has taken the passports of players. And I know El Paso is regarded as the safest city in the United States, but that's much for the same reason that Fort Knox is a secure place to leave your valuables. Because It's very, very well guarded due to the insane violence right across the border. Does this not strike you as odd to go to a bowl game where you have to take people's passports to keep them from going to Juarez and getting
killed? Viva El Churro! Viva El Churro!
Did you see that? Did you see Brian Kelly's photo that he posted of him with his new boots?
Oh no, those are clean as hell, son.
Yeah, they are pretty tight. That and Kelly also posed in a sombrero and like a serape, right?
Oh no, that's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. He's just like, I just want to tell everyone I'm very unqualified to do this. Like yeah. There was some sort of like, I guess he did like a. He was in charge of a cotillion. That might have been an event. I'm not sure.
It was. It's part of the Sun Court, which is a glorified sort of half beauty pageant. Which, by the way, the 2000 Sun Queen, holla at your girl Naomi Nunez. Woo! Graduate of Coronado High School. I just got really excited.
Should I be looking this up somewhere?
No, I just got really excited about that. But you know what a runner-up is called? And this is the most patronizing title for a winner ever. Okay? She's not the runner-up. She is...
First ugliest.
No, she's the lady in waiting.
That I'm pretty sure that's the nickname of Purdue's flag corps.
Where? What school?
We're talking about the Sun Bowl. We better be talking about Purdue.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, here we go. We should talk.
Are we playing them as well? I think it's a dual meet.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually the rare three-way football game. It can happen. You just tack a third field on there, get one team to defend the middle out of the 12 periods of a three-way football game. It's it'll be amazing. The Sun Bowl is going to kill in the ratings.
This is the beauty of the bowl system. How could you turn your back on this kind of tradition? Where else are you going to see three-sided football matches?
Three-sided football games, 2 miles away from utter anarchy. I have to admit, bowl series, bowl championship series, you got me on the Sun Bowl. I can critique almost all of them, the Military Bowl, the Independence Bowl, but when you see the camera pulled back. And you see the blighted moonscape of El Paso with, like, literally, like, Juarez right there, complete chaos. I'm kind of sold on this whole thing.
Well, you don't want to pull back. You need more crowd shots of sombreros.
Also, remember, what overlooks the stadium? Handjob Hill. The place where on national TV 2 years ago, sorry, 3 years ago, a woman was caught giving a handjob to a man.
Isn't it like carved into a mountain, like some like villain lair, if I'm recalling properly?
It is. It's one of. It's this really. It's huge. It's just insane stadium. The setting is really, really unique. There's like the only way that you would get a more striking setting is to either play one in Crater Lake or two to hold a football game in the scoop that the Arecibo radio telescope makes.
Yeah.
Like if you could play in that Puerto Rico.
Bowl.
Yeah, if you could do that.
Bowl.
Yeah. the other question would be, we do have a special guest, which the house. If you don't know, House Rock Belt does puppet shows, and one of the puppets' frequent guest is Charlie Weiss. And I just wanted to know if Charlie could discuss the game for just a second with us and what he sees playing out here in the Sun Bowl.
Oh, well, it's a multifaceted question you have there, Mr. Hall. I don't know. I think the essence of a good bowl game is it's not unlike this fine Kansas City barbecue. Got to be low and slow with nice seasonings. The occasional wrinkle in the game plan, but overall, generally satisfying.
And would you say that Notre Dame, even without Charlie Weiss, has a decided strategic advantage in this game?
I would say they would have some sort of strategic advantage. I probably wouldn't have gone with that myself. I think I probably would have brought out some sort of wishbone set for this year, just because they wouldn't be expecting it. We'd probably just for the bowl game maybe we'd install it briefly and see if we can get. See if we can get that Theo Riddick in the backfield. He's got that whoosh.
That whoosh?
Whoosh. No, the whoosh.